Lord Jesus Christ, hear us as we pray. Meet us in the quiet of these couple moments when we sit before you, taking at your word that you hear us when we pray, that we can simply come as we are with all we hold and offer our thanks and our praise and ask for your help. During this past week, as a lot of us have devoted a bit more time to focus prayer, being prayer week. And over that 24-hour time, Friday and Saturday, when people either came to this room or spent hour-long blocks of time in prayer at home, Lord, thank you for this gift of prayer and for the assurance that prayer is anything but an empty ritual, but that it is time in your holy presence. It's a time of sacred encounter, and that it's what you invite us, what you urge us to do in faith. And there is so much to pray about, so many things in this world, so many people and places where your mercy and grace are deeply needed. We pray that by your grace, the dangerous tensions between the U.S. and Iran will decrease, that you'll give true wisdom to leaders on both sides as well as others who are influencing things. We pray for people serving in the military and in State Department positions around the globe, as well as for so many civilians who are in fragile and dangerous areas. We pray for the people of Puerto Rico who have been devastated yet again by destruction, this time by earthquakes. We pray for your mercy and grace. And we pray for people closer to us, people who are homeless, out in the cold, or in transitional places like those who had been living at the Drake Hotel. Lord, provide what each one most needs, including safe and compassionate people around them. We pray for the people of this church with distinct needs, for Nancy Larson and her family now in these days of grief over Steve's death, for Dorothy Jacobson and Luella Coulter and Tim Lundgren, for so many more whose needs and names are not printed in our prayer notes, including each of our needs. Lord, you know what we need. You know our hopes and the things we face. We pray for your guiding, strong presence for all of us. Now, as we come to your word preached, use me to speak your truth. Grant us all an awareness of your Holy Spirit and the living and active power of your word. We commit this time to you and ask for your great grace to be at work among us. We pray all of this in your holy and matchless name, Jesus. Amen. Well, a week ago I was planning to be preaching about a different text this morning. After all, this is Epiphany, and the fitting text would have been about the Magi coming to visit Jesus following the star. But something kept pausing in me. Matthew 2 is a powerful story, but there was this pause on my inside, like, not right now. On Tuesday, as Pastor Anna and Pastor Doug and I met for worship planning, it was clear that they had a sort of pause too. So we talked, and Anna suggests that we look at the book of Hebrews, and there was this click inside of us, like, yeah, that's where we need to go. That's how it sometimes works in discerning a sermon text. There may be a pause, and there may be a hint or a nudge, and we need to be discerning about that. So we're heading into Hebrews for a couple of weeks, a letter that is focused primarily on the supremacy of Christ. In Hebrews, we read that Jesus is the mediator of our salvation, the one who opens the way of forgiveness and new life through his death and resurrection. Jesus, the great high priest. Jesus, the once for all, once forever sacrifice that opens the way to forgiveness and new life and one day eternal life. Jesus, the anchor of our souls, firm and secure. Jesus, who makes people holy and calls us his own. Hebrews is about the supremacy of Jesus over all things, over all powers, all peoples, even over angels, as we'll hear in a moment. So open your Bibles to Hebrews. If you're not familiar with it, it comes after the letters of Paul. It's about two-thirds of the way into the New Testament. And I want to say at the outset that Hebrews is not a quick or easy read. But it's powerful. And it's beautiful. So I want to encourage you to take time to read it and to give the advice that a professor of mine once gave. Commit the time. Commit, like, say 2 hours, the length of time that it would take to watch a movie you might want to watch. And read all the way through these 13 chapters. Don't go fast, but keep going. Go all the way through in one setting. And then go back through it again much more slowly. Maybe just one chapter at a time. Maybe one chapter a day. So take 2 weeks to go through it. Slowly absorbing what Hebrews is all about. And as you read it, pause over the descriptions of Jesus. Over all these descriptions of who he is. Let your eyes be like ears to hear God speaking to you through his living and active word. Because as the last verse of the text I'll read this morning reads, we must pay the most careful attention to what we've heard so that we will not drift away. So let's pay attention now to God's word through Hebrews. Hebrews 1:1 through 2:1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think it's timely to pay attention to God's word coming to us through Hebrews on the same day that we've received these star words. Words we're encouraged to pay attention to. So, what word did you receive? You don't need to call it out, but what word did you receive? And if you didn't receive a word, we will make sure that you do get one. Here's a cross-section of some of the words that were just given out. About 10 out of about 80 different words from Scripture. Mindful, kindness, integrity, justice, knowledge, light, loving kindness, listen, joy, invite. It's a lot of different words. The intention of this, as we've said, is for us to hold on to that word and to pay attention to it. To look how it's used in Scripture, to build it into our prayers, to see how this applies in day-to-day life as this year unfolds. And almost every year, people tell me stories, either at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year, about how that seemingly random word came as such a gift. And admittedly, for some, this word will get forgotten, it'll get tucked away somewhere, or maybe left in a pew, and that's okay. It's not meant to be an obligation, but a gift. Gift of word from Scripture to hold on to pay attention to pray about. Paying attention is a large part of our challenge, isn't it? As people of faith, as people seeking to live as God desires us to live, as people trying to be followers of Jesus in all the muck and mire of daily life in this world. Where our attention goes is really important. Because we know that there are a lot of things going on. A lot of things that hold our attention, and a lot of things going on in this world right now that can grab us and hold us and consume our attention. And right now, today, there are so many fearful things going on, aren't there? These fearful things can totally hold us. They can work their way deep inside of us. The high tension between the U.S. and Iran right now is frightening. Drawing in a lot of other players into this heightened tension. And the downing of the Ukrainian airliner, where is this going to lead? And the ebbing and flowing of nuclear threats from North Korea. Then add to that the increase of anti-Semitism in this country and abroad, and strained ethnic racial relationships, and the tension in the church and society related to human sexuality and all the fraying that's going on. Then add to that the massive fires in Australia and the earthquake in Puerto Rico following devastation from hurricanes. And on top of all this, add the terribly fractured and angry political landscape that we have. So has your blood pressure gone up as I've gone through that list? It's a lot. There are so many frightening, fearful, and angering things going on right now. And they can have a consuming power over us, understandably. Turn on the news or open your browser and there it is. But I'm here today, and I believe you're here today, to affirm that even in the face of all of that and more, we have this. We have God's Word. We have God's Word spoken and put into print. We have this. God said. God said. It is an ancient word that God says. But it's anything but outdated. It is a holy and transcendent word that God says. But it's anything but remote from day-to-day life. As we can read just a little ways into Hebrews, into chapter 4, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It penetrates. And the meaning behind that word penetrate in Greek is something that moves into and through something else, bringing about a significant effect. It's to bring about a significant effect. And that's what God's Word does in us if we open ourselves to it. And if we pay attention to it. And if we hold it in our minds and hearts And with God's help, live into it as it penetrates us. God said is meant to bring about a significant effect on all those who receive it. And we should put it into present tense. God says. Because this word, these words from Hebrews and all the rest of Scripture is for today. It's for us. And part of what is so important right now, and part of why I think Pastor Doug and Pastor Anna and I all agreed about focusing on Hebrews for the next few weeks, is the steady theme running through Hebrews is all about the supremacy of Christ over us, over all things, even over the dark and frightening things, the supremacy of Christ. Skip ahead, if you would, to chapters 11 and 12 in Hebrews. In chapter 11, and a lot of you know this, there's this long litany, this long line of people, long list of names. And with the names of all these people, each of whom lived in a very complicated and painful, often frightening time, with each name there's a repeated phrase, by faith, by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, and on it goes. All of them living by faith that what God said, what God says, is sure and secure. It is true. Then listen to how Hebrews 12 begins. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And that word entangles can also be translated into things that easily distract and pull us away. Let's throw off these things that distract and easily pull us away, that entangle us, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we read, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Which is much like what I read in chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay most careful attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. Oh, church, we can drift away. We can grow weary and lose heart, can't we? We can sometimes lose a sense of hope. In light of all these enormous things going on in the world that we have no control over. And we can lose our attention in the midst of it. We can lose our attention to God's voice speaking to us through His Word, speaking to us even inarticulately in our prayers. We can lose our attention on Jesus as all these other things gain more attention and more prominence in our lives. So listen again to what I read earlier from the beginning. In the past, God spoke to us, to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. So you heard that. That Jesus was and is central to the creation of everything. The whole universe. And that He is the exact representation of God. And that word in the Greek text for exact representation is a word that we use. It's the word character. That's a Greek word, character. And how that word was used then is that character was the impression made into a wax seal, like a sealed letter where an insignia was pressed into the wax. And that impression, that indentation in the wax that is exactly like the insignia on, say, a ring, that's called character. That's the character. It's not vaguely like that impression. It is exact. Jesus is the character, the exact representation of God. And he is the one who, all by God's grace, has said and continues to say, I am with you. I love you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the light of the world. And the darkness has not overcome me. I am with you. So do not be afraid. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I've called you by name. You are my own. And the way that hard news and frightening news and deeply discouraging things come at us in such a rapid-fire way today. We need to pay attention, of course, to what's going on in the world around us. We must. We must be aware. But now of all times, we as the church need to train our attention on at least three things. At least three. Asking for God's help for us not to get distracted and to lose our way. First, God's Word. We need to know it and be conversant about it and to continue growing deeper in it. We need to put it into practice like never before today. This is why we have copies of a book at a time reading plan that are available out in the lobby or in the resource center. To read through the Bible in a whole year. And that's no small feat. But I've never met anybody who's done that and said, well, that was a waste of time. Read through Scripture. Use that guide. Because it is a living word. And it penetrates from Genesis to Revelation. And as we spend time in God's Word, attentive to it, it penetrates and changes us. One of the things we need to do now more than ever is to be alert to God's Word. Secondly, prayer. Now more than ever, the world needs us to be praying. We are the church. Coming before Jesus just like we've done this morning, just like we are invited, knowing that He is the exact representation of the God who made the universe. And He is supreme over all things, all powers, all events, all people. And to ask for His mercy and grace and redeeming power to do things beyond what we can even ask or imagine. All for His glory and praise. We need to pray for world leaders and for anonymous refugees. We need to pray for communities that are riddled with fear due to gun violence, and for victims of domestic violence. We need to pray for our children who are growing up in a world so very different than what we adults grew up in. We need to pray for those who view the church and followers of Jesus as the source of their rejection and pain. We need to pray. The list of things that we need to pray about is terribly long. And that's where we need to train our focus, on prayer. And thirdly, hope. Closely tied to being alert to God's Word and being focused in prayer, now more than ever, let's confidently and boldly ask Jesus to work deeply in us. First of all, in us, forgiving, cleansing, and changing us, and in doing so, making us powerful witnesses of hope through what He has done in our lives. And then to be witnesses of that hope to this world that needs hope. So let's confidently and boldly ask Him to make us clear witnesses of hope in this world where hopes are dashed and crushed so very often. So there we are, three things. Just three. There are more, but here are three to keep on the leading edge of our lives day by day, now more than ever. God's Word, prayer, hope, and being witnesses of these all by the power of Christ at work. So with all that said, I'll end by reading from another part of Hebrews, this amazing letter that steadily frames all of life around Jesus the Christ and his supremacy. This part I'll read is from chapter 10 in Hebrews, where there's just been a description of the rituals of Old Testament sacrifice with priests, temple priests, needing to come repeatedly to offer sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins, including going behind the curtain in the holiest of holies in the temple, and how all of that sacrifice was replaced permanently and overwhelmingly by Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. So listen to what God says. Therefore, sisters and brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another daily. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Lord, in this very complex world that can be so dark and dispiriting at times, where there's so many things that are wrong, use us as your instruments of peace. Use us as carriers of hope. Keep us focused in your word, alert in prayer, knowing that you continue to speak and move. We commit each other into your hands, praying for your will to be done, and that you truly would do more than we can ask or imagine, and all for your glory. We pray this all in your name. Amen.